Welcome everybody to The Sector, the radio show podcast discussing the world of nonprofits, social justice, and activism. With me, your host, Ethan Clow, and as always, we are broadcasting right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, and streaming live at citr.ca, and over your radio, of course. So, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Friday morning. I hope you have a nice hot cup of coffee next to you to enjoy the show with. And if you're listening via podcast, of course, well, welcome to the show, whatever time of day it is and wherever you are listening. Great to have you here with us. Again, fantastic show today. We had a week off last week to prepare for this show, as well as my big event, my panel discussion that is happening, well, yesterday, actually, at the time of airing of this show. I will have already done it. So, hooray! And we actually hope to have some of our panelists from Thursday's event join us here on The Sector for a future episode. And again, we were discussing the charity sector and the recent audits by the CRA and the political nature of those audits. We've discussed this previously on various episodes about the changing understanding of what it means to be a politically active charity. What does that mean? What does the law say about that? And what has the impact been on the charity sector? Has there been a chilling effect? Have charities kind of shut their mouth and stopped doing what they do best? So, you know, these are important questions and obviously controversial, but we're very pleased. I'm very pleased with the way that the event turned out, and I'm really happy that we're going to be able to have Gareth and Noah, who, if you were at the event, you know them. They'll hopefully be on the show at some point, and we can talk about these in more details. But speaking of today's show, you know, it was Remembrance Day this past week, and Remembrance Day is always a bit of an interesting thing for me. You know, obviously it was brought about to commemorate the end of the First World War, but has since morphed into being about kind of all wars and past, present, and future, and the, you know, respect and the remembrance that we give to soldiers who have died or who go to fight in war and may not come back. It's a very interesting time because I always get a lot of interesting feedback about Remembrance Day. Some people talk about it in terms of it's just something that you do. You know, it's kind of that it's a way of honoring soldiers. And that's pretty much all it is. It's to honor your soldiers and to remember the past. And that's great. Some people look at it, though, more with a bit more of a malicious view. They say that it glorifies war, that it takes war and it makes it into something that it's not. And by sort of creating this kind of cult of remembrance, we're actually perpetuating the ideas that lead to more war. Now, personally, I don't really have a strong feeling that that's all that true because, you know, you look at the way that cultural icons evolve and change over time. Nothing stays static, and it doesn't really matter to me if a poppy, when it first came out, was a symbol of war or a symbol of glory of war. You look at the way that image has changed over time, and you look at the way that the public perception of war has changed over time. And I mean, again, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that our perception of war in Canada and, you know, in the West has changed so dramatically. From the First World War, where it was this view that it was going to be this, you know, amazing adventure of giving the, you know, the dastardly Germans a good thrashing and then back in time for dinner, to now being like the worst scenario of diplomatic relations, that's a big change. And I don't think it's really accurate to say that a poppy is going to reverse any of that. So let's get into that a little bit later on the show. Also on today's show, we're going to have another installment of me examining direct mail. So you may remember a number of episodes ago, we took a look at UBC's direct mail appeal, and we did a live opening here on the air, and I opened it up, I looked at it, we sort of went over the different aspects of the direct mail, the letter, the envelope, the ask, the wording of it. It was fun, it was exciting, and we learned a lot about, you know, how to tailor direct mail, how to make it work, and ultimately, you know, what they want to get out of it. Now, of course, the holiday season is upon us. You know, once Halloween and Remembrance Day go by, it's, well, we're full gear into Christmas mode now. So that means we're going to be getting our holiday direct mails. And so in the spirit of understanding the direct mails and getting an idea of what makes them work, what makes them fail, what makes them interesting, and ultimately, you know, what will encourage people to donate, I have two of them here that we're going to look at. The first one is from the Lung Association of BC, and it's got, ooh, Christmas seals are enclosed. I love gifts. The other one is from Union Gospel Mission, and which is interesting because I don't ever recall donating to them. So that's going to be cool to see how they get around that hurdle. So that'll be fun. We'll examine those a bit later on in the show. And lots to discuss then. So why don't we take that break now? You can go get that coffee that I know you secretly want. And I'll get mine. And we'll be back in a few minutes. So stay tuned.
A long time ago, in a city far, far away,
CITR
was born. In the decade ahead, America will be in space.
CITR
is already there. Astronaut Neil Armstrong had this to say about
CITR.
It's one small step for man.
So vote.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Herbert R. Tarlick, Chairman.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC and Kitsilano area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books and Sound, The Bike Kitchen, The Cove, Dentry's Pub, Displace Hashery, Limelight Video, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Bar and Grill, Lotusland Tattoo, Nuba Kitsilano, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
Wow, it sure does pay to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus, or go online to www.citr.ca.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure.
And we are back here on The Sector. Welcome, everybody. Hope you have that coffee. So we're discussing the world of nonprofit, social justice, and activism, but I wanted to take a few minutes to maybe go a bit sideways with that mission and talk about Remembrance Day. And again, I mentioned before the break, now, there are people who really are kind of anti-Remembrance Day. You know, they talk about the idea that the poppy is not a symbol of peace, but it's become a symbol of war, a way of glorifying battle, of glorifying combat. And that's not consistent with a, you know, humanistic or inclusive worldview. Now, my personal feeling on that is that that's not really true, and that I think it's taking a very kind of narrow view of not just what the poppy itself represents, but also what Remembrance Day could represent, or in fact, maybe even does represent. The main thing to remember, of course, is that no cultural icon or artifact ever stays the same for very long. And there's a really good example of this that springs to mind. I remember a number of years ago, I was watching the Remembrance Day ceremonies from Ottawa, and I was sitting at home watching on TV. And they were doing everything they'd normally do. They were putting up those wreaths on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And it was very moving. They had music and people were all there. They did a moment of silence, that sort of thing. As they were leaving, somebody took off their poppy and put it on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And I think maybe a couple other people did that as well. And there were a few shots of the tomb with, you know, a handful of poppies on it and people leaving. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that's interesting. You know, obviously that one person put that there, and then maybe a few other people saw it and put theirs there, and it became like this little thing that they did. And I wonder if that's going to have some kind of impact. Because, I mean, lots of people are watching this right now. Kids are watching it. People who have the day off from work are watching it. You know, there may even be like a hockey game on later tonight. And so, you know, with the CBC and everything, they're going to be watching this and they're going to be watching that. You know, that's really interesting. I wonder what effect that will have. Fast forward to the next year at the Remembrance Day ceremony, and everybody was putting their poppy on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. As they left the ceremony, they would file past the tomb and they would take off their poppy and they would put it on the tomb, and it was just covered in poppies. And it was this spontaneous thing because, you know, last year, like I said, there were a couple there, maybe one person just thought, oh, put it there. That's a nice gesture. It became a tradition, and it still goes on to this day. People, when they leave the ceremony, they put their poppy on the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And, you know, the announcers, they always say, you know, and now that here's this tradition that's new. It only started a few years ago. So, I mean, again, you see in the span of a handful of years, a new tradition revolving around the poppy develop and take shape. And if that's possible, if it's possible to get a majority of people to suddenly start doing a whole new ceremony at Remembrance Day, and to make them feel good about doing it, then surely it's also possible for the poppy and for Remembrance Day to have an entirely new meaning, and one that is defiantly anti-war and pro-human rights and pro-humanism. Surely that is possible. And, you know, I think that we can say with some certainty that this has happened for Remembrance Day. You're always going to get people who look at this as an opportunity to score points, to gain political leverage, or to even appeal to more patriotic or perhaps baser instincts of power and world dominance, that sort of thing. But you also look at it from the point of view of the way that we've changed our perceptions about war. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. We don't look at war the same way we did. Even, never mind World War I, but even a handful of years ago, we're starting to change our understanding of war. With the advent of things like drones and new technology and the changing landscape of war, the way we're seeing war not have the same effects anymore, well, that's going to have an impact on how we view future conflicts. And it's also going to have an impact on how we view the people who come back from war. And that's, again, another aspect of Remembrance Day that I think is really important, that if you go and serve in war and you come back with a traumatic event or an injury, you know, you need help getting back into society to get back integrated. And again, that's another really, I think, positive message that Remembrance Day can send, is that war does not simply have this kind of diplomatic, global face to it. It has a personal face to it as well. And that's something that we should remember and also, you know, help with, like, social justice. Yeah. Implementing changes in legislation that allows us to reintegrate our soldiers back into society and make sure that they're happy and healthy and productive. But again, the notion of the changing face of war and how we perceive that thanks to Remembrance Day, you know, you look at how World War I, when it first came about, people were eager to sign up. It was an honor and a privilege to join the army. And you were lucky to get chosen. You were lucky to be able to ship overseas and fight. And then you had World War II, where there was this whole other sort of moral, ethical dilemma attached to the war, that we were fighting an enemy that was, I mean, evil. You know, the Nazis were evil. So there was that element to it that gave the war kind of a must-win feeling to it. And I think that filtered down through all the people who were in that war. Coming so soon after the First World War, there were people who were reluctant to sign up. They knew what to expect. And, of course, you know, those fears were proven right. World War II was also devastating and traumatic and destructive. And then you look at, you know, other major wars in at least North American history, and at least in our, you know, consciousness, like the Vietnam War and the Korean War. You know, the Vietnam War represented one of the first times where there was a huge anti-war movement that spanned industry, media, that spanned generations of people who just didn't want to go there, and they didn't want to impose war on another nation. And again, like, I really do believe that that's a side effect of things like Remembrance Day, because we are remembering the human cost of war. We're not out there singing songs and, you know, if we were out there singing songs that bombardiers sang as they dropped bombs, or if we're out there holding up propaganda posters and, you know, burning effigies of German soldiers, that would be a problem. That would be really bad. But we're not. And in fact, there seems to be a very strong tendency to come together, former enemies coming together to sit and say, you know, this was awful and we're so glad it's over. Now, what's interesting, of course, is the argument that we are glorifying war. But again, like, I find it very hard to believe that the poppy and Remembrance Day is having even a fraction of the impact that, say, you know, all the Call of Duty video games are having, or all of the TV shows out there that glorify guns, the violence on TV. I mean, honestly, if we're going to be talking about things that glorify war, I think that we can think of better examples than the poppy does. I mean, all those Mel Gibson movies, for goodness sakes. If we're going to be talking about the impact that we have on culture and that culture has on us, we have to make sure that we're applying that lens critically and that we're applying it holistically, so that we're not just zeroing in on one thing that we personally find objectionable. And that's something that, you know, we want to make sure that we do with social justice, and we want to make sure that, you know, when we're looking at the nonprofit world, we're also being critical. We're examining things with a lens that allows us to, yeah, to really understand the world around us. So, I, you know, that's my take on it. I know that people who feel very strongly that Remembrance Day is bad and that wearing a poppy is bad, and I can understand that frustration. I can understand that feeling. I disagree, but again, you know, I think there's pretty good evidence for why I should disagree, and I think there's pretty good evidence why we should evaluate our view of these things. Remembrance Day, the poppy, war, and glorifying war. Well, why don't we take a little bit of a break here on the show? We'll come back after this.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
Shut up and listen to me right now. This is Fred Schneider, and you're listening to CITR. Shut up and listen to this radio station.
Welcome back to The Sector with me, Ethan Clow, discussing the role of nonprofits, social justice, and activism. Before the break, we were discussing the Remembrance Day ceremonies and the wearing of poppies, and whether or not you should wear a poppy, or whether or not the poppy symbolizes a glorification of war, or a symbol of remembrance and rejection of war. So a complicated topic, and obviously not going to be resolved right here, right now by me, although, let's face it, I probably could. If you're interested in hearing more about this, it's actually been a subject of some debate over at my old show, Radio Free Thinker. I believe Don did an episode recently on this as well. But if you go through the archives of Radio Free Thinker, me and Don have talked about this a couple of times over the years. Worth listening to. We're always very interesting to listen to. And so if you want to learn more about the poppy, its history, and its role in society, check it out. Well, I hope you got your coffee. Nice warm cup, because I got mine right here. Damn, that's good. Anyway, it's very cold out, as you are probably aware. I love cold weather. I know that's maybe unpopular, but I just love that cold, crisp air. I love the fact that it's now cold enough that we can wear our winter coats, scarves, hats, gloves. Winter accessories are just awesome. I think they're so great. The best thing about being cold is that you can always just put on a heavier jacket. If you're too hot, like, at a certain point, you've reached the maximum of what you can do to alleviate that heat. You can't take your skin off. Well, unless you're some kind of, like, alien or something. Anyway, that's getting into a weird place. So what's next on the show? We got some direct mail here. Now, two different letters, and I'm just holding them right now. This is the first time I've looked at them live here on the show. We have one from the Union Gospel Mission, which I mentioned I've never given to the Union Gospel. I don't think I've ever given to them. So it's interesting to see what kind of message this is. You know, it could be what they call a spray and pray, where you send out a bunch of direct mail appeals. You know, you get the address list from wherever, and you just send out as many as you can, and you hope that maybe like 5% of them send you a couple bucks back. And once they've done that, you know, now they're in the system. Now you can, you know, start directing more, you know, better quality mail to them, and in the hopes that they'll become longtime supporters. So that's interesting. We'll have to see how they structure that one. Now the other one is from the BC Lung Association, and I'm pretty sure I've given to them before in the past. I seem to recall doing that. So what's interesting about this is that this one, the BC Lung Association, they've included gifts for me. And this is always an interesting tactic for charities. They include a little something like a pen, or in this case, stamps, and they look like nice stamps too, or something like that. And the idea being is that as the recipient, you go, oh, wow, they've actually given me something. Like, you know, stamps are not cheap. Right? They're, you know, for a package of them, it's a couple bucks. So it's like, well, geez, you know, they spent all that money giving me these stamps. They spent all this money packaging up a nice little envelope and a letter. I should at the very least reimburse them for their stamps, and you send some cash their way. And that's the whole secret here. They're trying to encourage generosity. And, you know, while you're at it, it's like, okay, so fine, I reimburse them for the stamps. Oh, I'll give them a little bit extra too. You know, like, you want to make it worth their while. And it's just one of those sort of psychological aspects. You're more likely to give a little bit back if you got something in return without really, you know, even asking for it. So that's going to be interesting to look at. And we'll see, you know, which one of these is the better one, maybe. We'll have a little contest. And we'll see which one we like best. And in fact, you know, you may have gotten these very same appeals, right? So if you still have yours laying around, you know, go grab it. We can open them together. So let's do that, and we'll see which one we like best. So why don't we start with the Union Gospel one? It comes in a rectangular white envelope with a sort of clear plastic window, and it's got like a Christmas card in it. It says Merry Christmas. And if I shake it a little bit, I can see that from the Union Gospel Mission. What's interesting about that is if it's flat, I'm just going to drop it on my desk a little bit to get the card to go down. You can't even see who this is from. It just says Merry Christmas. Now, I wonder if that's intentional, because if you get a Christmas card and you can't see who it's from, are you more likely to open it? I don't know. You may think, oh, maybe my friend sent me an early Christmas card. Is that what's happened here? I don't know. Probably not. I bet you that's not intentional. And that may, in fact, who knows, maybe that's a disadvantage. Because, I mean, if you do get a Christmas card, usually it's not in an envelope with a plastic window in front of it, right? But anyway, let's open it up. Let's see what's inside. So I'm just going to open this up right now. Okay, so we got a couple things, actually. So let's just open that, put the envelope away. So we got a very nice Christmas card. And ooh, look, a little return envelope with a postage paid. Of course, that's very important for direct mail, as I mentioned before on the UBC opening. And then we have a little donation card. Okay, good, nice. It's very compact, very pretty. Let's look at the card because that's the main thing. So on the front, Merry Christmas from Union Gospel Mission. We open it up and okay, so it says, miracles begin with a meal. May peace and joy be yours today and may the coming year be filled with happiness. Oh, that's nice. It puts me in a good mood. I like that. At the bottom of the card, it says, greetings, friend. Christmas is on its way, and there are thousands of men, women, and children in desperate need of help and hope throughout Metro Vancouver. It costs only $3.29 to provide one of the 65,000 hot, nutritious dinners we expect to serve this Christmas season. Your gift of $32.90 gives a hot, nourishing meal to 10 people. $49.35 will provide 15 meals, and $82.25 will provide 25 meals. Your donation can also help offer shelter and other vital services to your neighbors in need. This life-changing work could not be possible without your support. Please join us by sending your tax-deductible Christmas gift to Union Gospel Mission today. Thank you and God bless you. And there's a signature. On the back of the card, it says UGM Christmas dinner with all the trimmings, $3.29. And then it sort of repeats what it said before. For just $3.29, you can give the gift of a delicious holiday meal and so much more to someone in need. Please give generously to help Union Gospel Mission not only feed, but also provide outstanding care for our community's most vulnerable throughout Metro Vancouver and the City of Mission this Christmas season. Your compassion can save lives. And then it's got the Union Gospel Mission logo, the address and phone number, their website. And that's sort of the card. What's interesting is the signature at the bottom of the little message, not live ink. Someone didn't personally sign this. It's a signature that's been stamped and printed. So that's interesting. Let's take a look at the rest of the package that comes with this. So the next thing that we should look at is the donation card that came with the whole package. So let's see, on one side it says, yes, I would like to provide hot meals for people in need in Metro Vancouver area. Well, that's good. That's very good. I like how they, it doesn't say, yes, I'd like to donate. It's, I want to provide hot meals. That's very active. That's very proactive. That's very good. Here's my special Christmas gift of, again, reminding you that it's Christmas, season of generosity, $82.25 helps 25 people, $49.35 helps 15 people, $32.90 helps 10 people. This is also very good. I'm not crazy about the complicated amounts, like $82.25. Can't they just say like $83 or $49, let's say $50, you know? But I really like how it says helps 25 people, helps 15 people, helps 10 people. That's really powerful, and that's a good move by Union Gospel. Payment options. Let's see. Charge my credit card. Enter details on reverse. Enclose check. Good. I want to support Union Gospel Mission throughout the year. See reverse. Okay. I would like to receive information about Union Gospel Mission via email. Good. 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 Capture their emails. All donations will be used for board-approved programs and projects. When any need or project or goal has been met, extra funds will be used in areas of greatest need. We respect your privacy and do not rent or sell our mailing lists. Well, that's good. Let's see, you can donate online or by phone. Good, that's good information to give out. Calling from outside Metro Vancouver, address. Good, okay, let's look at the other side. Let's see here. So we got, yes, I want to support Union Gospel Mission throughout the year. Please accept my ongoing monthly gift of, okay, the wording's not the best for that one, but okay. Monthly pre-authorized donation, so $10 a month, $20 a month, $30, $40, okay. Moving up in $10 increments, that's not bad, but okay. Please accept my account or charge my credit card. Okay, that's good. They give you options for when you want to be charged. That's not bad. You can do debit, credit. A little thank you note here. Thank you. Your gifts will be acknowledged, and an official year-end receipt for income tax purposes will be mailed to you. Well, that's good. Let's see. Okay, here's the registered charity number. That's always good to have on these things. And your credit card information. Interesting. Okay, so they have the monthly giving on like one side of the card. And then on the... they have monthly giving on like one side of the card. And then literally on the right half of that side is the payment options, which you also use to fill in for you want to make a single donation from the other side where it says, you know, 25 or 30 kilos helps 10 people, etc. That's a little, maybe a little confusing. I would have liked to have had the each side to be sort of like its own separate form for whether it's monthly or single gift giving. But nevertheless, that's not bad. Thoughts on that? What do you think about that? The only thing that really jumps out at me that I would change is I don't like this $10 increment monthly giving, 10, 20, 30, 40. You know, I think Union Gospel could do better than that. Maybe like, and again, like on the main side for single donations, it's got this really nice 8225 helps 25 people. That would be great to have something like that on the other side. So it's not just like $10 a month. Like, what does 10 bucks a month do? Like, we don't, does that help somebody? Or that's like less than, $10 is less than $32.90 that helps feed 10 people. And it's, yeah, like that's interesting. So the $30 a month option is the second highest listed here. That's still lower than the lowest ask for a single donation. I wonder if that's on purpose. I wonder if that's to, Interesting. Okay, well, that's a very good ask. I mean, they're very direct. They mention who they're helping with that, which is always a really good thing. People like to know the impact of their gift. So that's pretty strong. And then, of course, they have their return envelope addressed to Union Gospel. Oh, that's interesting. Look at that. They actually have a little thing that says your stamp will help to decrease our costs. So you can use the postage paid, or if you wanted to, you could put your own stamp here and save them a bit of cost. I suppose you could use one of the stamps from the BC Lung Association. That's interesting. That's an interesting move. I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess it's good for people who will naturally support the Union Gospel. I mean, that's something that they can do to sort of help things out. But I wonder if, you know, I wonder if that's just extra printing. I mean, I don't know if that's going to generate a lot of people putting their own stamp there. It may even, I don't know, maybe that will turn people away because they'll be like, oh, it's too much trouble. One extra step to jump through. I don't know. Having some coffee here. Anyway, okay, well, that's pretty good. That's not bad for Union Gospel. One of the things that jumped out at me, though, there was very few references to God, which, you know, for me, being in, you know, an atheist and a non-believer and a skeptic and everything like that, it certainly helps me feel more comfortable about donating, because I normally don't like to give to religious organizations. I feel like they get a lot of money, you know, normally, so... they've kind of definitely made, there's only, I think, there's one reference there, God bless you. I think that was it. Maybe there was maybe one more. But interesting, you know, there's obviously a couple of reasons why that would play a major role. I mean, Metro Vancouver, fairly non-religious area. Also, of course, you know, it's not exactly like religious groups have gotten the best media coverage recently, you know, with the Catholic Church and all that stuff. So interesting. That's an interesting move. Well, let's check out the other one. So we got our letter from the BC Lung Association. And so I'll describe the package on the outside here. It's quite nice. You got a white envelope, bit longer rectangular. Got the Lung Association logo on the top corner there. It says, your new Christmas seals are enclosed. Cool. A gift to Christmas seals is a gift of better breathing. Okay, that's interesting. Learn more or donate online at the BC Lung Association, or well, the website. It's got a little thing here on the back. It says, a long and healthy Christmas tradition. Since 1904, Christmas seals have meant help and hope. Public donations from the Christmas Seal Campaign have funded life-giving lung transplants, technology to replace invasive surgery for detailed lung examinations, control of tuberculosis, asthma, lung cancer, a few other lung diseases, and your public education programs, including school and community initiatives. With your help, we can make even more progress. $25 funds medical research of lung diseases such as asthma, etc. $10 helps teach children not to smoke. Okay. $5 helps fight for clean air. Interesting. In British Columbia, some of the world's leading scientists are working to eliminate all forms of lung disease. Your Christmas seal contribution helps make this vital research possible. It is a gift in the true spirit of the season. Thank you. And I guess that's their charitable number. So this is all on the back. I haven't even opened it yet. Christmas seals and the longest, are those two organizations or that one organization? I don't know. Okay, well, let's open it and find out. All right, so what do we got here? Wow, these stamps are actually quite nice. Okay, well, let's look at those in a minute. Wow, this is a lot of stuff in this little envelope. Okay, so we got a return envelope. We got a little card. I don't know what this is, actually. We'll look at that in a moment. Okay, so a long and healthy Christmas tradition. So this is, I guess, their donation card. So on one side, it's got just sort of like their story and a did you know section. On the other side, it's got the donation section where you fill in the amount. So let's start with the story side. Mm-hmm. Since 1906, our Christmas seal tradition has been a symbol of health and hope. Your gift today helps fund critical medical research for lung cancer, etc., public education programs, school community initiatives. That's sort of what it said on the back of the envelope, actually. Did you know 1 in 5 British Columbians has a respiratory illness? This year, more women will die from lung cancer than from breast cancer. Tobacco kills more than 45,000 Canadians a year. Chronic breathing problems have increased by as much as 60%. People with breathing problems count on us for help and for answers. We count on your financial support. Please send your gift today. Thank you. Well, that's not bad. I mean, that's a pretty good call to action. I mean, the 1 in 5 is a good number. That means we all know somebody with a respiratory illness. More women will die from lung cancer than from breast cancer. That's a bit surprising, I guess, given, you know, what we hear in the media. So that's a good stat to have on there. Tobacco kills more than 45,000 Canadians a year. Again, you know, stop smoking, people. Chronic breathing problems. So again, good quality stats there that helps generate the will to take action. Let's look at the back here. Yes, I want to help. Enclosed is my donation. And it's got different options here, so please check one. $5, $10, $25, $50. Okay, so again, this is what I was talking about with the amounts, right? $5, $10, $25, $50. They're not going in $10 increments. They're not even going in $5 increments. So 5 to 10 is 5 bucks. 10 to 25 is more than double. 25 to 50 is double. So that's actually, I think, better. You don't want to limit yourself to simple increments. You want to have larger numbers, because then, you know, you look at this and you go, $5, okay. So from a very sort of like pragmatic point of view, $5, that's the bare minimum they need. I don't even think that they probably spent, maybe not $5 on this whole package, but they spent a lot. And $5 is a very cheap, but it does make you kind of feel kind of cheap to give $5 after you get all this cool stuff. So the $10 is probably more likely, just because, again, you want to make sure that they get their a fair amount of money back for giving you all these cool stamps. $25, yeah, and I bet you the $25 is probably what they're kind of hoping for. You know, did they give a strong enough appeal to earn the $25? I don't. We'll have to see. Okay, so let's look at this. You can send a check, which is good. Checks are still popular. All the major credit cards. You fill in the form. Good, good. They tell you how to donate online, which is also good. Okay, this is interesting. We gladly issue tax receipts for any amount, but to save on mailing costs, receipts for less than $25 are sent by request only. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Let's see. Then they got their address, their charitable organization number. Good to have. They got some nice graphics. It's nice to look at. It looks very pretty. Let's look at the other stuff that came with it. So this was something interesting. The Lung Association. It's a small blue card, and it's got like a Christmas globe on it. And the Lung Association. I love my lungs. Your name here. Okay, please sign your name on the ornament and return to us with your donation. We will add it to our ornament of decorations. Okay, that's kind of cool. So I guess they had like a wall or like a baby Christmas tree or something on their at their office, and maybe you can go and look at it. Maybe it's online. That's kind of cool. That's a neat way to... that's a cool way to package in some donor recognition. That's what that is. That's a cool idea. That's very clever. Okay, let's look at the stamps. I mean, the stamps aren't terribly important, but they are pretty cool. Let's see. Okay. So, Christmas seals. Oh, and it's in French, too. Good. When you can't breathe, nothing else matters. Yeah, that's true. Christmas seals. By sealing your envelope with our Christmas seal, you're helping one of Canada's oldest health charities. Your donation helps us deliver programs and services that benefit children and adults with breathing difficulties. With your help, we can support the 6 million Canadians with lung disease. Please give generously. Okay, that's interesting. So, on their return envelope, they don't pay for postage. So that's, I mean, they freaking include stamps, but... So on the return envelope, it's, you know, typical stuff. Oh, it's one of those lick envelopes. Was the Union Gospel, was that a lick envelope too? Let's just double check. It is. Wow. Like, come on, charity. Stop giving us lick envelopes. Nobody wants to lick these things. They taste awful. It can't be that expensive to get one of those things with the peel-away tape. It really can't. The stamps are peel-away. So come on. Okay, getting back to the point. The Lung Association, improving life one breath at a time. So it's got like their slogans on the back, their address on the front. So you can put your return address in there. See, and that's the other thing too. Like my name is nowhere on these things. So these are both spray and pray type responses. They send these out to everybody, and they just hope that they'll get enough back to make it worth their while. That's cool though. It's also, one of the things that I just noticed is that the inside of the envelope has got like this checkered pattern, which you might think is, well, that's kind of weird, but it prevents you from seeing what's inside of it. So if you did put like a check or something inside it, don't like, you know, no one's going to see it and steal it. The, Union Gospel doesn't have that. I wonder if that's interesting. Okay. So they include stamps and you need to use one of them. I wonder if do they get something extra for if you use the Christmas seal stamp? Like, is that, they don't really say, but I guess, I don't know. Then the stamps, there's 2, 4, 6, 8, 12, 12 stamps. That's cool. Oh, wait, there's not 12 stamps. Well, whatever. There's enough of them. And they got little nice pictures on them. There's kids and horses, snowman, people going under a bridge or something. They're singing carols and that one. There's a house. Oh, they're the same stamps. Okay, so that's interesting. There's like four or five different designs, and they just kind of repeat them. But all right, well, whatever. That's still a nice gesture. And the stamps, yep, you just sort of, they're stickers. So you just peel them off and stick them on the envelope. And again, if they can do that, if they can send up a whole bunch of stamps that are just stickies, like seriously, why can't they have envelopes that you just peel back? You know what I'm talking about, right? Like you peel back the thing and it's sticky and you just fold it over and then it's done. Like, I don't understand this obsession with licking envelopes. Nobody likes to do that. They didn't include lick on stamps, right? So why go through all that trouble? Okay, well, that's our direct mail. And I'm going to post a few pictures online to the website. So sectorpodcast.wordpress.com, if you go and take a look, you can see some pictures and see what I'm talking about. And maybe you got these in the mail as well. So, you know, maybe you've had a chance to look at these, you thought it over, maybe you donated. If you did donate, let us know, actually. Give us a shout. You can email us at sectorpodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, we're on Facebook and Twitter, at sectorpodcast, Facebook and Twitter, or at Ethan Clow on Twitter. And let us know what you thought of these. Maybe you gave some money, maybe you're a long-time donor, or maybe they didn't do anything for you. Maybe you were like, you saw them, you read them, you were like, not interested. So let us know that too. That'd be cool to sort of figure out what people thought about these. Well, let's take a quick break here on the sector, and we'll return after this.
Well, how best to explain it? You've seen me in X-Men.
Yeah.
The character I am, Professor Charles Xavier. Mm. If you remember, he can control things with the power of his mind. Can make people do things and see things. So I thought, what if you can do that for real? I mean, not in a comic book world, but in the real world.
All right.
So in my film, I play a man who controls the world with his mind.
Right. That's interesting.
Yeah. For instance, I'm walking along, and I see this beautiful girl, and I think I'd like to see her naked, and so all her clothes fall off.
All her clothes fall off?
Mm, yes. And she's scrabbling around to get them back on again, but even before she can get her knickers on, I've seen everything. You know, I've seen it all.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. We've already seen everything.
Okay. It's a comedy, is it?
No.
Right here on News 101.
Right here on News 101.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taken to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective. News 101 is Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced student and community newscast, bringing you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective. Tune in Mondays and Fridays at 5 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Live streaming and podcasts are available online at citr.ca.
And we are back here on The Sector with me, Ethan Clow, discussing the world of nonprofit, social justice, and activism. And direct mail, as it were. So we've gone through these two direct mail appeals, one from the Lung Association and one from the Union Gospel Mission. And again, you know, if you have gotten these yourself and you would like to send us your thoughts, we'd be happy to hear them. You know, let us know if you donated or not. I think that more of us should shout from the rooftops with joy that we have donated. And as the Christmas season, you know, gets closer. Well, it's already here, but whatever. As Christmas itself gets closer, we are going to see a lot more of these appeals coming through the mail. You know, some of them, and again, some of them, as these two were, will not be, like, addressed to us. Like, they won't say, Dear Ethan Clow, or whatever. They may say, like, Dear Occupant, or Dear Friend, or so-and-so. I think the Union Gospel one said Dear Friend. Yep, said Dear Friend. Okay. So they're going to say things like that because they don't have us in their donor database yet. They don't have a profile on us. They don't know who we are. But as they get an idea of who we are, as they understand, you know, who we, if we donate, you know, what do we give? What levels do we give? They're going to start to use that you know, for their next appeal. So your card may say, like, "Dear Mr. Clow, last time you gave us $25 and you helped feed so-and-so many people and it was a big deal. Please consider giving again. We count on your support," et cetera, et cetera. That's something that you can expect a few users to give. And of course, you know, some people will say, "Well, I don't want to get all this junk mail. I don't want to get all these appeals." You know, I'm on two minds of that. On the one hand, it's like, well, you know what? Grow up. Like, it's not like it's going to kill you. You know, these direct mail appeals, they're very easy to throw out. And again, like, charities expect you to throw out a fair amount of these things. But at the same time, it's like, it's also not a big deal to pick one up and look at it and kind of go, huh. You know, if I'm in a good place financially, if I make good money, if I'm enjoying my holidays, is it really such a bad idea that I give $10, $25 to a good charity that's doing a good thing? I don't know. So if they do get them, try not to throw them out. Maybe just look at them. Give them a chance, right? Give them a chance. And as we get more of these, we'll spend some more time going over these and figuring out, you know, how good are these appeals? Do they jump out at us? Do they make us want to donate? And we'll cover that here on The Sector. And again, send us your commentary, your feedback, your thoughts. Email us at sectorpodcast@gmail.com. Visit us online at sectorpodcast.wordpress.com, where you can get the show notes and the podcast for our show and all future episodes and all past episodes too. And like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. We post a lot of really interesting stuff that's related to social justice, to activism that may find interesting. So check us out. And, of course, we will return next week with another new episode. And we hope to have with us some of our fellow speakers from the Charities Under Threat event, which happened on Friday. I hope you went. Hope you had a good time. I had a great time. And so we'll be talking more about the CRA audits, as well as activism and social justice. We're hoping to have with us Gareth Kirkby and Noah Ferguson at some point in the future. And I will let you know when that happens. And definitely prepare questions. You can tweet them at us or email them to us, and we will put them to our guests on the show. And in the meantime, I will see you all next week here on The Sector. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy this wonderful cold weather. It is fantastic. Get out there, put on your gloves and your hat, and just enjoy it, because it's not going to last forever. You know, global warming and all. Anyway, we will see you next week here on CITR with me, Ethan Clow, on The Sector. See you next week, folks.